off Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word up, we're back here for another Wednesday. It is Wednesday, June the 16th, 2010. Word up, Toronto, what you need to know about the G20 Summit. Next weekend, June 25th to 27th, downtown Toronto will be locked down. The community will be mobilizing, and international financiers and the global leaders will be planning their next worldwide initiatives right here in Toronto. Already, we're seeing the downtown core transforming into a fence-lined security zone, and tonight we've got the details for you. First up, we'll be speaking with a local activist and accomplished filmmaker, Dan Dix of Press for Truth, about the highly anticipated movie premiering this Friday, the new documentary film, United We Fall. Plus, we'll go in-depth about the G20 summit, talking politics, protests, police state conditions. This is CKLN 88.1 FM, Word of Mouth Wednesday in Toronto. We are broadcasting on the radio, Community Radio. Word up, my name is Daniel Libby, and we'll be back with more Word of Mouth right after this. Word up, Word of Mouth. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and we've got our first guest on the show. He's on the line right now. We were talking to him. He's in Toronto, and he is a filmmaker as well as one of the main media people behind the website pressfortruth.ca, the media company Press for Truth. And I'd like to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today, Dan Dix. Hello, Dan.
Hey, man. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not bad. How are you doing? I know these are busy times with everything that's going on. How are things going?
Things are going very well. This is definitely an extremely busy time for me. I knew, over a year ago that around this time, the month of June, I was going to be extremely busy, and here we are. So, yeah, very busy with the film screening I have coming up and film release, and then, of course, the G20. Right around the corner. So, yeah, extremely busy at the moment.
Right. And, I guess we got to, let's just start off with talking about the film screening then, because I know that's the next thing up with it premiering on Friday.
Yeah.
What is United We Fall?
Well, United We Fall is a film that delves into the idea of a North American union. We basically chart it chronologically, starting as far back as the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, and then we kind of explain how incrementally through trade deals like the FTA, the NAFTA, the SPP, the North American Leaders Summit are all incremental steps that seem to be leading us towards the idea of a North American union, very similar to a European union, where the three countries, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, would be harmonizing and merging together politically and economically. And then we touch on the bigger picture about how this North American Union agenda could be basically another step towards the bigger idea of a global government. So that's pretty much what we touch upon in this film.
And who's all involved in the film? Who are you following in this documentary to get this kind of information?
Well, the subtitle of the film is Three Nations, Two Sides, One Union, and that's really what it is. We try to present both sides by speaking with insiders who are deeply involved in this thing, but also people like activists, political journalists, and that sort of thing, so that we get both sides of the issue. We've spoken with, again, a lot of really major players, people like members of the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. So we've spoken with a lot of people like that, and then also people like Luke Radowski and Alex Jones and other people of that nature who have been at the forefront of this fight.
So that's interesting that you've got sort of, it sounds like you're going to have two perspectives, like differing perspectives, I guess, on this situation. It's not all just going to be be from the activism or the resistance perspective, but you've also got people that are supporting the globalization.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to give these guys an opportunity to explain themselves, and we didn't want to make any kind of a biased film, if you will, so we try to explore all sides, and we get the opinions of these guys from the horse's mouth about, you know, what their views are on this concept of trade deals could be moving towards a North American Union. And like I said, we managed to get a lot of the major players. We got Alan Gottlieb. He's a former Canadian ambassador to the States from, I think it was 81 to 89. He was instrumental in the signing of the free trade agreement. He's trilateral. He's Bilderberg. And we got guys like Robert Pastor and John Manley, who's now the president of the Canadian Council of Chief Executives, which is basically 150 of Canada's biggest corporations who are all a part of this thing, and he is the president of that, the president of presidents, if you will. So, yeah, those are the kind of guys we've been speaking with to try to get their view and their opinion on what this is all about.
Well, I guess what that makes me wonder, though, is how it's possible to how were you able to with having like your independent media company, how are you able to get these like industry leaders involved in the documentary? Like, were they all just willing to talk with you, or?
Well, I'll tell you, flattery will get you far. we would basically just ask them. We would email them, and we would start off using flattery, basically saying, I've read your books, we've read your documents, we're very interested in speaking with you about the idea of deeper integration and a North American community. We wouldn't use words like North American Union, because we know that might scare them off. And also, we would keep my name out of the emails, because, you know, I've already made a documentary film on this issue called The Nation's Deathbed. So we knew they would be doing a background check on us, so we purposely left my name out of the emails for that reason, that they wouldn't catch on and say, oh, I know what kind of an angle these guys are coming from. I'm not going to talk to them. Actually, there's a funny story about that. We had an interview lined up with Thomas D'Aquino. He was the former president of the CCCE. And about 5 minutes before the interview, I wasn't able to attend this particular one, but Brian drove down to Ottawa to do the interview, and they called him up on his cell about 5 minutes before he arrived, and they said, yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have to cancel. So he went there anyways, and he walked in, and he met them, and he said, yeah, I drove all this way, I have all this gear, what's the problem? And they said to him, well, we did a little bit of research, and we found out that you're working with a guy named Dan Dix, who made a film called The Nation's Deathbed. He has a website where he talks about, and this guy knew a lot of stuff about me. He said, this guy talks about this and that, and, you know, the banking system and secret societies and all this stuff. So basically, we think you guys are lunatics, and there's no way I'm going to let my boss speak to you. But besides that one, everybody else we approached basically said, yeah, I'm willing to talk to you guys.
Nice. And this is all, I guess this movie is, and this screening is going down Friday evening?
Yeah, the exclusive premiere screening is this Friday at the Bloor Cinema, Friday, June 18th at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6:30. Richard Serrett, the host of the Conspiracy Show on 7:40 a.m., along with Patrick White of conspiracyculture.com, are going to be hosting the event and presenting it. And they will be, you know, Brian and I are going to do a Q&A session after the film. So that is, yeah, this coming Friday.
Nice. And I know Brian Law is the, because I interviewed him a few weeks ago at a Toronto Truth Seekers meetup, and then we played it on the radio a few weeks ago. And Brian Law, I know, is the director of The Nation's Deathbed. What is your role in the film?
Well, he's the director of United We Fall.
Right, oh, that's what I meant, yeah.
The Nation's Deathbed I made with Stephen Davies was actually the director of that.
Right.
But yeah, Brian is the director of the new film, and basically the two of us started working on this about 2 years ago. We've been working on this film together for 2 years, so
wow.
He's the director, I'm the producer, and That's the relationship we have with this project.
Okay, and with the previous film and the Nation's Deathbed, mm-hmm. What I was wondering about is just because I know a lot of that movie has to do with a protest that took place in Montebello when they had the SPP meetings in 2007, the summer of 2007. Mm-hmm. And I actually was up there actually covering for CKLN. My first big, you know, trip to an activist event was covering the protest the day before in Ottawa. And so I was up there, but I was just wondering, you know, with this big G20 coming up and stuff, is there anything that protest brings to mind that you would want, like people, in case there's people out there listening that are thinking of getting involved with the protest in a G20, is there anything like that you would remember from the Montebello that you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was there, so I can speak from experience that, and I was not expecting everything that happened to happen. So I suppose I showed up a little bit unprepared in the sense that, you know, it was the first time that I've ever been blasted with pepper spray and tear gas. And I can tell you that stuff is absolutely brutal. You can't see, you can hardly breathe. You're almost put into a bit of a panic situation because it feels like you're in the middle of a war zone and all of a sudden you can't breathe and can't see. And, you know, according to the Geneva Conventions, in war, you're not allowed to use chemical warfare, but the reason why they are allowed to use it, like, for instance, in Montebello, is because technically we're not at war. So they are allowed to engage in chemical warfare on the protesters. So for the upcoming G20 summit, I would just have to tell people to, you know, not to anticipate it, but be prepared for it. You can have goggles, you can get yourself a gas mask is probably a good idea if you're able to get one. Earplugs, because as we know, they have the LRAD sound cannons that they'll most likely be deploying on us. So those are ways that people can prepare. Another big thing that happened in Montebello, Quebec, was where three agent provocateurs, police officers, who were dressed up as aggressive protesters. They were wearing masks. They had rocks in their hands. In an attempt to incite violence, got caught red-handed. And, you know, it's some incredible footage that was posted on YouTube. And that is a blueprint for what you can expect here at the G20. I would not be surprised whatsoever if the Toronto Police Force engaged in those type of tactics in order to discredit thousands and thousands of legitimate protesters who are there with a legitimate cause. I even asked George Tucker, the representative of the security integration unit there, in charge of security for the G20. I said, you know, are you able to, can you assure to me right now that the Toronto police will not engage in agent provocateur tactics like they did in Montebello? And basically his answer was, I'm not at liberty to discuss security issues. So he didn't say, no, we're not going to use these tactics. He simply said, I can't discuss that. So that's something that people need to be vigilant of. That's why it is very important to arm yourself with the greatest weapon we have in this info war, which is a camera. You know, the camera, the lens of the camera will be our eyes, and as long as we have enough eyes out there watching this thing, we can catch them in their dirty tricks.
For real, and that's why I'm glad that Press for Truth's out there doing a lot of good work, and you guys have been doing a lot of stuff on the G20 with covering the local scene here in Toronto with what's been with some of these changes that we've been seeing, and you know, in these and since I've talked with you on the show before, we played some interviews before. I know I have already talked to you about this the police terror drill that you caught on tape.
Right.
And then when I interviewed Brian Law, I asked him about when he got arrested for filming in the financial district.
Mm-hmm.
But most recently, you've got another video up here, G20 on YouTube. You can see it, G20 Order Out of Chaos, it's called. I was wondering, you know, could you just tell us about what, I know it's it's yourself on somewhere in the financial district. Could you tell us what goes on in this video?
Yeah, I mean, the video starts out, we were just down the street from the Metro Toronto Convention Center where the G20 summit is going to be held, and we felt it was important to do our little report there in front of the RBC, because at that point, it was just a week prior that there was a firebombing on a bank in Ottawa, and the mainstream media was all over it, saying this is anarchist group and these guys are prepared to do this at the G20. So we felt it was important to go down to that particular location and inform people about the concept of false flag terror events and false flag operations. So we went down to the main RBC Bank headquarters there in Toronto on Front Street. And I got about, I don't know, halfway through my report on that topic when, you know, security guards came out and tried to stop us from filming. There was two separate occasions, two guards came out and said, yeah, you guys aren't mainstream media. You know, you can't be filming here. But we do know our rights, and we know that we don't need a permit to be filming on a public sidewalk here in downtown Toronto. So we explained ourselves to them, and they eventually backed off and let us continue to do our thing. The video covers that. We cover the new so-called free speech zone that's been moved from Trinity Bellwoods Park now to the north side of Queens Park. And also, Brian, in the video, gave a little bit of an update about the arrest situation that happened to him a few weeks prior.
Right. And that's I was wondering, do you know what is the latest with that situation when Brian Law was arrested, and what's going on now?
Well, we just recently got the arrest report in the mail. Brian had to pay to have it sent to him. And, you know, it's pages and pages of stuff. But what it boils down to is they say that he was arrested due to a failure to leave the premises, which is completely not true whatsoever. So we will be challenging that. You can see it in the video. It had nothing to do. They never said you have to leave. It had nothing to do with that. They said you either have to turn off your camera or you have to show us ID. When Brian said, no, I'm not going to do either of those things, they said, turn around, place your hands behind your back. So they're trying to say that he was arrested because he failed to leave the premises when asked, but that is simply not true, and we have the video evidence. So we will be taking this matter further because, I mean, the loss of civil liberties is always incremental, and it's a slow changes that happen. So at every little step of the way, we must stand up and fight it, really. So we're going to be taking this matter to court, most likely. Obviously, we're busy right now with the film release and the G20 and everything. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of things going on right now, but we're definitely going to be dealing with that.
All right. Well, yeah, we're speaking a lot of truth. We're talking with Dan Dix from Press for Truth, and you mentioned, you know, you're slowly seeing these civil liberties and freedoms disappearing. Well, things seem to be speeding up with this G20 summit, at least in the downtown core. Are you surprised at the what's been going on? I know, like, it seems like every day there's new announcements about, like, you know, some crazy stuff is going on involving this $1 billion security setup that they're setting up. This morning they announced about the rooftop snipers they're going to have positioned around downtown.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I guess, like, what are you expecting to see in the G20? And like, are you going to be covering the protest in Queens Park North, or are you going to be covering everything, or
the plan? That's the plan. I've managed to put together a pretty solid team of upwards of about 15 different cameramen who are willing to work with me on the weekend of the G20. So we will have basically going to partner up, you know, kind of like a buddy system, people in twos or threes, and have our camera guys at the east end of the red zone, at the north end and the west end of the red zone. We will have also people at the Toronto Film Studios, where they're going to be using as a processing facility for any arrests that are made. And we will also have some of our cameramen and reporters up at Queens Park to cover the protest angle. So we're basically going to try to get as many people as we can to cover every single angle, because, you know, you never know really what's going to happen. But we just want to make sure that we have plenty of eyes on scene, so that if something does happen, hopefully we can capture it on film. And, you know, the plan is to get the footage captured and uploaded to the internet to to our YouTube channels and to the website as soon as possible to try to get it out there to the world to show them what is really happening at the G20, because as a lot of people know, you know, mainstream media will simply lie to you. And a lot of people are beginning to catch on to this fact. So they're looking for alternative information. And that's where we come in, where we want to try to provide a place for people to go where they can see what is taking place during the G20, but not from, you know, the corporate funded mainstream media. So that's the plan.
Nice. So I know, you know, from my research of, because I'm a big movie fan, and I've been doing some movie research, and I've found that a lot of these Hollywood movies, you know, there's big blockbuster movies that are all, I've found that a large portion of them have been funded actually by toxic derivatives, and, you know, that's how some of this money is getting out, and, you know, but these are like major, almost all these major Hollywood studios are owned by a major corporation or, you know, conglomerate. So I'm wondering, you know, is this the movie that you've got coming out on Friday? Is this like, would you call it an independent movie, or do you have a studio behind you, or?
No, absolutely. This is completely independent. This entire thing was made by myself and Brian Law. We did not have any kind of a budget. Every single thing is out of our own pockets. We don't have anybody funding this thing except for ourselves. So it is a completely independent film that we've been working on for the last 2 years. Yeah.
Nice. And no toxic derivatives then?
Absolutely not. You can be sure of that.
Right. And with this United We Fall, you're talking about the North American Union, and people out there can already watch the Nation's Deathbed. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out online. You just search Nation's Deathbed. You can find the original film from 2007 or 2008. But this movie that you've been making for you know, 2 years seems like a lot more information with this North American Union. And then we have next week a G20, global leaders, basically the 20 biggest economies are getting together. So I'm just wondering here what you're thinking about the agenda of the G20. Like, do you believe that the purpose of this G20 is like to set up the world government?
Yes, but not in such a big step. I believe what they are working on and have been ever since it was, put together is more so the harmonization of the economies of the world. Right now, they are focusing on, you know, there is an agenda for a one world cash system, basically, where everything will be regulated and all the economies of every nation in the world will be regulated, and they need to work on that incrementally, and I do believe that is one of the major objectives of the G20 and them getting together, is to try to arrange a global steering committee which will oversee basically how money operates all over the world. So I think that's one of the main objectives of this thing is.
Yeah, for sure. And I know I got some of this info. And just in case people think it's only the political leaders that are here, it's not. For the G20, other international organizations that are invited include the United Nations, the World Bank, the OECD, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, and the Financial Stability Bank, International Labor Organization, and... You know, I guess there's a bunch of these financial institutions involved with this G20 as well. And then I know you did mention that you had interviewed a representative of the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah.
For United We Fall.
Yeah,
and I guess that they had just had a meeting, I think, at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, they just met, I believe it was in Spain, just a couple weeks ago. And, there's still a lot of information coming out every day right now about what took place there. And it's always extremely important to pay close attention to what the Bilderberg Group is doing, because very, very, very often, especially people who you might see attend a Bilderberg Group who might be lesser known type of person, nobody really knows who they are, and then all of a sudden... 5, 6, 7 years down the road, this particular person ends up in an extremely high position of power. So that's why it is extremely important to keep a very close eye on what the Bilderberg Group is up to. And they are beginning to realize that we are on to them. Don't be surprised if the name changes, because this is a tactic that they often use. Once mm-hmm. you begin to shed light on these guys who do their deeds in the dark, they often want to go more underground, become more secretive. They might change their names, they might change their meeting locations, but the agenda still continues. So we have to keep our eyes focused on what the Bilderberg Group is up to, because they are definitely one of the bigger organizations out there who are involved for the push for this new world order, one world government.
For real, yeah, it's fascinating stuff, and I'm sure everyone can we'll be able to get a lot more info if you make it out to the screening at the Bloor Cinema this Friday. What are the details again about the United We Fall?
Well, it's this Friday at the Bloor Cinema, 7 o'clock. I believe it's 506 Bloor Street is the address, I believe. If anybody
near
wants
Bathurst
to get tickets
Street.
For that, you can get them with PayPal at pressfortruth.ca or conspiracyculture.com. You can call in over the phone with your credit card, or you could go down to their store to pick up tickets, or you can just try to get tickets at the door. The doors open at 6:30. There will be a discussion before the film. And again, myself and Brian are going to do a Q&A session after the film. And we there's a little pub across the street from the Bloor Cinema, so we're going to go across there. And if anybody wants to continue the discussion and come meet myself and Brian and ask us questions about our film, everyone is welcome to do that. This is coming up 2 days from now, this Friday, 7 o'clock at the Bloor Cinema.
Awesome, Dan. I'm looking forward to it. And going to be talking about the G20 when we get back, but I'm just going to take a music break here. I was going to play It's In Your Hands.
Oh, cool.
So I guess this is a soundtrack piece.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dan, for talking with us.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, peace.
Okay, see ya.
Word out. And that was Dan Dix from the Press for Truth, and we're just going to play his song here, a song he wrote for the film United We Fall, and you can also check it on YouTube. It's called It's In Your Hands, and it is, the video is just Dan playing the guitar, so you'll hear some of the soundtrack for the United We Fall screening. Check it out this Friday, 7 p.m., be there at the Bloor. This is that song.
That a flood engulfing one would soon swamp them all. So even though 20-some leaders all represented sovereign states, they agreed to common and synchronized actions to chart the same course toward calmer waters. Ideological differences were set aside. Old enmities were not raised. I would say this, if you had arrived from another planet, you could never have guessed which nations had spent decades mired in hostility. Now, you might call it the Fellowship of the Lifeboat. But ladies and gentlemen, in that brief parting of the veil, I saw world leadership at its best, a glimpse of a hopeful future, one where we act together for the good of all, the world we have been trying to build since 1945, the world we want for our children and grandchildren. It shows it can be done if we act together. And I call this enlightened sovereignty. And I believe our understanding in Washington, just in Washington, allowed us to avoid the cataclysm that otherwise really would have come to pass. But an agreement to act is just a start. It is acting on the agreement that matters. So when the G20 resumes in Toronto, the discussion should be less about new agreements than accountability for existing ones, less about lofty promises than real results, less about narrow self-interest in sovereignty's name than an expanded view of mutual interest in which there is room for all to grow and prosper. Enlightened sovereignty, then, the natural extension of enlightened self-interest.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and that track was by Dan Dix. United We Fall, the movie screenings come in this Friday. The film will be screening at the Bloor Cinema, 7 p.m. And right now you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. The time is 7:34 p.m. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, because this G20 is, well, you know, the groundwork's being laid, the fences have been gone up, cameras are up, I'm not sure if they're active yet, sound cannons, I guess, are warming up. I think a few days ago on the news, they showed some horse training drills. The mounted Toronto Police mounted unit is training to disperse protesters with horses. There's also, the whole summit, I guess, the philosophical approach is being called enlightened sovereignty. You heard in that, that music was playing, I just played a quick clip there of Prime Minister Harper's speech in Davos. So that wasn't part of, that's not part of the song, that wasn't part of Dan Dick's video or movie, but, well, it all ties in, because Stephen Harper at Davos in early March, so it was a few months ago anyways, it was the World Economic Forum that they had in Davos, Switzerland, and Prime Minister Harper there gave a speech talking about enlightened sovereignty. And for him, enlightened sovereignty is the natural extension of enlightened self-interest. And you can look up some of this stuff on see really what this stuff means. Or, well, you can't. I guess we don't really know totally what Stephen Harper's on about here with enlightened sovereignty. But you can guess by comparing the definition of sovereignty as well as the definition of enlightened self-interest, which is an older philosophical idea. I think it's from the early 1900s, but it's a time where the globe, this is something unprecedented. What's going on next, not this weekend, but next weekend, is something that hasn't happened before. They've never had a G8 and G20 back-to-back. That is part of why the government is saying that it's going to cost over $1 billion, the summits, because of the logistics of putting it all together. So with this all in mind, I think it's a good time. This will be a good time to open up the phone lines, and we're going to leave them open till the end of the show, because I know there's a lot of people out there that have some opinions on the G20. You can give us a call at 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655. And are you concerned about the G20? Do you have any news or stories to tell the people of Toronto about the G20? This is your time to call in and get the word out on community radio what people need to know about the G20. And until we get a call, then I'll just keep on going. I'll just keep on talking here, and we got a few clips we can play. But I think one of the first things I'll mention here, and I got the what you need to know about the G20 summit. I've got an official poster here from the the Toronto.ca might have been the designers of it, Toronto or the city of Toronto. They're at least in the center of it. But then on the one of the logos, you can also see the official G20 logo and then the ISU Summit 2010 logo. And ISU is the Integrated Security Unit. That's one of the websites you can check if you're looking for information, security information, and info on which highways will be impacted. Major highways such as the 427, the 401, the QEW, the Gardner Expressway, and the Don Valley Parkway will be impacted, and some will be completely closed from June 24th to 27th, as I guess this is because a lot of the delegates and a lot of the international guests will be landing in Toronto, but for, I guess, the Friday, they'll be having to drive up to Huntsville for the G8, because the G8's going to be up in the Muskokas, up in a multi-million dollar resort, Deerhurst Resort, I believe it's called. So that's the one thing, and then I guess they'll be driving back for the G20, which is, you know, the next day. Those are the kind of warnings they're giving on in terms of traffic. Now, they're also outlining the security perimeter, and you can check out this stuff, g8-g20isu.ca, if you're looking to get official info from the security, as well as toronto.ca/g20 for info from the City of Toronto, or I guess it says call 311, and if you don't have internet access, you might have some more info on 311. In terms of what's going on in the downtown core, and in terms of getting around, you might want to know that bus routes such as 6 Bay, 72A Pape will be diverted through the entire summit. 6 Bay and 72A Pape bus routes. 97B Young Bus and the 503 streetcar route will be diverted on June 25th only, because those routes don't operate on the weekend. But hold on, I think we got a call here. Let me just... hello, caller. This is CKLN 88.1 FM. You're on the air. Hello. Hello. Is there a caller here? No. All right. We did have a phone call, and then this light, we got a red light here that lights up when the phone's ringing, but I might have pressed the wrong button. If you want to call back in, if someone just called that has a G20 comment, you can give us a call, 416-595-1655, and hopefully it works. All right, hold on. We got a caller here. All right, hold on. Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. Hello. CKLN, you're on the air. Caller. All right, hold on one second here. Let me just see if we got somebody on. We'll be right back. Hi, this is CKLN Radio. Hi, do you want to get on the air? Okay, no problem. Hold on. All right, word up, word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here, and I think we got our phone situation worked out. Hello, caller.
Testing.
Hi. Yep, we can hear you.
Hi, it's Dave.
Oh, hey, Dave.
Hi. I just wanted to say thanks for doing the program and a little bit of advice for you, maybe. Mm. Keep your program at the level it's at now, because as soon as it starts rising, you might get fired like Greg and Dan did from the International Connection.
Oh, no.
They got fired for doing too good of a show and being too truthful, so I don't want I don't want too much truth coming from you guys, okay?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure about, I'm not totally sure about those kind of internal politics. We got the, we're just trying to focus on this G20. And Dave, you know, I'd like to get your take on the G20, if you're willing to give it.
Well, my take is that you got to watch your butt around CKLN, or you get fired. As soon as your program gets too good, you get thrown off the air. Then you have to sue to get back on the air.
Oh, no.
You have to save up your money or else do a really poor job, one or the other.
Oh, no.
Don't you know about what I'm talking about?
No. Well, not totally. Not totally. I don't know about all... I don't totally know about all of this financial part you're talking about.
Yeah, but what about getting fired? What about the part about getting fired if you do too good of a job?
Well, I don't know if it's for doing too good of a job.
What could it have been then? Because they were the best programmers on the on CKLN in history ever. I've been listening the whole time you've been on the air since '85.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not totally sure. I'm not totally sure if it's a situation with. Some of it I think is political. I don't think it's totally just from
being too good.
The truth. Yeah, I think it has to do with ideologies, right? Like, the guys you're talking about are, they say they're Stalinist, right?
Well, whatever they are, they told the truth, and they were very helpful for helping the people in the community understand what's going on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that ends up having to be, how you end up having to be fired for that, and then you have to sue to get your job back, and your job doesn't even pay you. Can you imagine somebody who sues somebody to get their unpaying job back?
Right.
That's what happened, you know.
Well, I don't totally know. I don't totally know all the exact circumstances, and I don't know about, you know. I don't know. See, I don't know about all this stuff with the internal politics of CK, but you know, I've been trying to. All right, we got to.
Are you a happy family there?
We got to. Move on. We got to move back into the G20 situation because this is a major situation going on here in Toronto. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff politically going on at the station that we're not supposed to be talking about. And I've signed a volunteer agreement saying that we're not supposed to negatively criticize the people at CKLN, other people at CKLN. So I'll just say that I'm glad that there's people willing to volunteer for CKLN. And I'm glad that that CKLN is still allowed to broadcast. But, you know, I definitely like there to be, you know, less political hostility going around. But other than that, that's all I can say. In terms of the G20, just to get back on what we're talking about, what I wanted to mention is that 10 more leaders have been announced for the G20, and these leaders have been announced and invited to Huntsville. Okay, so what I did mention last week was that the G20 had invited five nations: the Netherlands, Vietnam, Spain, Malawi, and Ethiopia will be invited to the G20 in Toronto, but now invited to Muskoka, 10 more leaders. The 10 leaders include the presidents of Algeria, Egypt, Ethiopia and Malawi are also both invited to the Huntsville, as well as the president of Nigeria, Senegal, South Africa, and from the Americas, also the president of Colombia, the president of Haiti, and the president of or prime minister of Jamaica have all been invited. Those are the 10 extra people in charge of nations that will be at the G8 in Huntsville. So I got a news article here. I think I got it out of the Toronto Star with where it says In the subheadline, it says the additional key international officials and revised seating plan for the Toronto Summit will actually have to accommodate what appears to be a G50. So the 20 biggest countries will be called the G20. They'll basically, I guess, they'll lead the meeting. But because there's so many additional countries, that it's like a G50. As well as, you know, all the different organizations, the financial institutions that we mentioned. And they're saying international journalists, air crews traveling with the journalists. And I guess if the national leaders have their own security forces, altogether they're estimating, you know, it could be close to 20,000 people here, just out-of-town people here, just for the G20. So that's, I guess, major part of why they're doing this major closure of downtown. And I actually biked here today. I biked here, and I take the Lakeshore Bike Path, and the Lakeshore Bike Path ends before Harborfront, so you got to go on the street there. And then when I'm biking through the Harborfront area, I can see I saw the fences going up around, and I thought they'd be going up around the south side of it's called Western Harbor Castle, I think. That's one of the main hotels they're going to be using. And then I also noticed the fences on the other side of the street as well. So it's like the both sides of the street they're going to be fenced in. I'm not sure if the hotel's on both sides of the street. That would make sense. But so it's hard to even tell where the lines are, you know, what's going to be fenced in and what's going to be still open to the public. Just because I know a lot of people are now moving down in the downtown core, towards the lake. The waterfront redevelopment is adding a lot of condos. That's what people will notice. And then here's another headline from today's paper. Harborfront condos consider putting up their own G20 fence. So condos are now considering getting their own fence for the G20 because of the fear here of the threat posed by protesters. That's how they phrase it here in this article by Brendan Kennedy of Toronto Star, saying... We got a quote here that says, "I don't think that the protesters' goal is to disrupt in any way the lives of the residents of the various condos in this neighborhood." So that was the quote after a local resident was asked about the threat posed by the protesters. And that's what you'll see a lot of in the media, is that they're trying to showcase the protesters as a threat. And what are they worried about? What's the big deal? G20. We've got a new flyer here from whatyouwantabelievein.com. I just noticed it in front of CKLN. Looks like CKLN host Black Krishna has printed a new flyer here with the Resist G20. What's the big deal? Some information here. It's got some links. And then what I also noticed around when I came down here, down to CKLN, in the Student Center of Ryerson University, they've got a pamphlet here. The G20 is coming to our neighborhood from OCAP, and it's about OCAP is going to have a march rally in Tent City against the G20 Friday, June 25th, 2:30 p.m. at Allen Gardens. So keep that in mind next Friday, June 25th, if you want to see a Tent City being set up. If you want to come out and be part of it, you can check out OCAP.ca for more information. If you're at all around the CKLN area, you can look out for a flyer, if you know where the flyer rack is, about this situation. They've got, you open it up and it's got, "This is why we must fill the streets. What is the G20 about? Capitalism is broken. Raise welfare and disability rates now." And some info on what this G20 is all about from the perspective of OCAP, Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, considering doing a tent city type of thing. Also in the newspaper racks, because a lot of the newspapers at Ryerson are out of print when the full-time students aren't around or the summer season is. The Eye Opener and the Ryersonian usually aren't printed, but I think the Ryerson Free Press is still available. And Ryerson Free Press has got some info. I think it's got a bit on the G20, and it's also got more info on the rallies, the pro-Gaza Freedom rallies. That's on the cover, I guess, of the latest Ryerson Free Press, which you can pick up if you're around. And then also now I'm noticing in the a few of the magazine racks have the Dominion, which is news from the grassroots. And the Dominion is mediacoop.ca. And that's one of the media, I guess they're setting up a media feeder site, 2010.mediacoop.ca, which was, I guess, the feeder site during the Vancouver Olympics. And it's going to be moved over for the G20. So keep that in mind. And I think maybe before we wrap up here, it might be a good time to just get you in the mood for what's coming up with this G20. We got the People's Summit coming up this weekend, peoplesummit2010.ca. And then, big protests going to be taking place on the following weekend with the G20. One of the anthems, I guess, of this Community Activism Mobilization Committee is G8 G20 Crash the Meat in Toronto by Tester Logic and Anarchic Chris. Let's see if it plays this week. We'll try to play the whole thing this time. Tester Logic, G8 G20.
Sovereignty, then, the Crash the Meat.
In the world without opposition to your plans, I'm making it twirl around your greedy fingers. We watching it swirl down the drain. Insane economics unfurl. See, we're not buying what you're selling, even with your propaganda telling media barons rebelling. We're yelling,
no justice, no peace in
the streets. It's just us versus the elite's police. See, a better world we see, so we're free when we speak. Oil's at its peak, and we gotta defeat the status quo. We'll keep us unable to speak on our knees, saying please, we reap what we sow. So you know the whole plan is out of control. The goal to hold power while we get the blindfold. Truth be told, it's the same old song and dance. We're down to the wire, might be our last chance to advance. Humanity, take your stance. The power of the people, a street romance. United, we cannot be defeated. G20, we're ready, T-Dot, it's time to greet them.
G8, G20, they few, we many. G8, G20, they few, we many. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meat. And every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meat. And
chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 2010 is here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets.
Lightened sovereignty.
Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they locking down streets with the military. And the progress is death, it's a cemetery. This is Canada, this is native territory. Turtle Island, East Coast of Salish. Colonizers just keep on taking. February 2010, confront invasion. G20, June, leave big tree blazing.
During the time of crisis, I relied on about 10 Canadians with great expertise to give advice.
Destroy the SBB wherever it gets stationed. Take over everything with occupation. War involves more self-determination. Social war against our nations. No control against domination. Against the empire and its colonization. Against the war and the government agents. Against authority for liberation.
G8, G20, they few, we many. G8, G20, they few, we many.
Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting.
G8, G20, they few, we many. G8, G20, they few, we many.
Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that was the G8 G20 track there. Tester Logic and Anarchic Chris played this week. Looks like, I think last week we had something going on with the computer, but it looks like the computers are back up to speed and playing So we good to get that track in there. Before, as we're just wrapping up here, and I mentioned the People's Summit. The People's Summit, a lot of it is going to be taking place around here at Ryerson University, Friday, June 18th to Sunday, June 20th. So this Friday to this Sunday, you can check out People's Summit. 2010.ca. You get the full listing, and there's going to be a lot of speakers at the People Summit. So check out PeopleSummit 2010.ca for more information on that, and you can register there. I guess the only thing that they require is the registration for the People Summit. So consider doing that if you're looking to check that out. Well, we still got a minute left. Maybe I'll just play a quick track of the mayor of Toronto, Mayor Miller. Here's his thoughts when he was on CTV, his thoughts on the G20.
What the kickback is here for the city of Toronto. I know that officials in Pittsburgh felt that the fact that Pittsburgh was being said over and over again for a solid week in the 20 biggest economies in the world was a payoff to them that they couldn't have afforded to buy.
Well, that is a very important thing for Toronto as well. We have a great story here. We have a city that is a low-cost destination from both a tax perspective and a business cost perspective, that has some of the best human resources, that is alive with culture, that has literally people from every country in the world, and you can sure see that right now during the World Cup. It's an incredible story, but we never tell that story, or not nearly enough, internationally. I've already held 3 press conferences with international journalists. We've got a 4th this week, and there'll be 2,000 of them here. Only a couple of hundred are able to go directly to the event, so there'll be probably 2,000 journalists looking for stories. We hope they tell the story about Toronto, and of course, that's worth an awful lot for our business community.
So that was Mayor Miller there with just a few thoughts. What's going on with the G20 coming to Toronto? And there's a whole lot more we can talk about. But since we're running out of time, we'll just have to wait till next week, because we still got one episode left before the G20 happens. So with all this, stuff that we've had going on. We got to stay cool, stay calm, stay safe, and hope for the best. Trying to keep Toronto a safe place, and hope for peace. And well, let's talk about what we talked about today. Just want to thank Dan Dix again for appearing on the show and talking about his good work with Press for Truth and his new upcoming movie coming out this Friday. Check it out, United We Fall. You can check out United We Fall at the Bloor Cinema, premiering at 7 p.m. this Friday. The Bloor Cinema, $10 for tickets, and check out the trailer online if you want to. Just search on YouTube, United We Fall. Search for PressForTruth.ca. PressForTruth.ca is the website that you can check out all this stuff and all the good work that Dan Dix is doing, and a whole lot more. Also, check out the People Summit, PeopleSummit2010.ca. Check out the Toronto Media Co-op for a lot of info. I posted the interview I did with Adonis El-Jamal from last week on there. And you can check it out on there, Media Co-op, 2010.mediacoop.ca, and a whole lot more. This has been your Word of Mouth Wednesday for June the 16th, 2010. My name's Daniel Libby, and thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the Blues Dr. Julie Hill to cure all your music ills here on CKLN 88.1 FM. Word up, word of mouth, word is bond, word out.
People running around, trying to get to the top, when they're really going down, oh Lord. Oh, won't you help them if you please? Oh, 'cause I really don't think they're gonna make it, unless they find some remedy. People trying to get to a place they never been, when all the while, Lord, they forget about the friends. Oh, Lord, oh, won't you help them?